Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and we want to begin reading in verse 33. The Gospel of Luke and verse 33 through verse 36. We continue our study of the parables of Jesus. Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11, verse 33. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "No one, verse 33, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light, but when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." May the Lord bless to us the reading of His Word. Let us pray together. Our Father, how we are thankful for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace to us. We are saved by grace through faith, and it is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. And we thank You for Your Word which You have given to us, and we thank You for the light that comes to us through the Word. And we desire, Father, this morning that the light of the Gospel which is to be seen in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ might be seen by each of us this Lord's Day. So we commend our time to You and ask that the Holy Spirit would take the things of Christ and make them real to us. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Have you ever missed your turn in the road? You know, you're driving along and it might be dark and the signpost, you missed it as it went by and forgot what it said. I'm sure that's happened to you at some time or other. Or you're driving in a major city and you come across those signs so fast and the traffic is so great that you don't have time to take note of the signs or the signposts. Signposts and signs are very significant and very important because they show us and they direct us in the way that we are to go. So when you see the sign, when you see the signpost, supposedly that gives you light in your mind before your eye, and so you know where to go, and you think about the sign that you've seen. In the parables of Jesus, Jesus uses over and over and over again physical signs or physical symbols so that we might see the way. Every one of us gets the physical picture. But not every one of us, not everyone who heard Jesus got the spiritual picture. The physical things are crucial, they are important, but it's the spiritual things that we must never miss. And we have a perfect illustration, do we not? For instance, in the sower and the seed. We're all and can see in our mind the sower sowing the seed. We can all see the path, the rocky ground, the thorns, the good soil. Those are the physical signs, the physical things to portray the spiritual truth and the spiritual reality. Parables, generally speaking, have this physical connected to it, but it's the spiritual. It's not that which is on the surface that counts, but that which is underneath. And sometimes that which is underneath springs out as you read the parable. At other times you have to think a little bit harder as to what Jesus intends for us to understand. So Jesus takes the physical things, the things that you are familiar with, that His audience were familiar with, and He uses them as His foundation, as His starting point. And from the physical, He will communicate that which is spiritual reality and spiritual truth. And it is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in that He is able to make this connection between that which is physical and that which is spiritual. And because the physical is so dramatic, because the physical is there in front of you, that which is spiritual will stand out all the more powerful. These are all physical things that you come across in the parables. You can see them. You grasp them. You understand what Jesus is saying. You may yourself even have experienced at some time or other those very physical things that Jesus is speaking about. But the parables are never just about those physical things. Not about what you see, not about what you smell, not about what you hear, not about what you taste. But it's the spiritual sight, the spiritual taste, the spiritual food that we want to understand. So parables communicate always spiritual truth. Don't miss the sign. Don't miss the truth. Whenever Jesus speaks in a parable, don't miss what he is saying. Don't just see the physical, the surface level, but get to examine the text and look at what Jesus is saying in order to understand the spiritual. Now, the remarkable thing about the parables is that Jesus always connects the physical to the spiritual. And yet the physical falls away as you gain spiritual sight and spiritual wisdom. So you have to have spiritual eyes to see. You have to have a spiritual heart to comprehend and a spiritual mind to understand. We all understand the physical signs, the physical symbols, the physical things Jesus says. But if you miss the spiritual, you've missed the parable. And so we don't want to do that. We want to see what Jesus has to say. And every physical sign or symbol that Jesus ever uses, every physical illustration, always points to a spiritual truth and to a spiritual reality. Now, let me show you in these verses the physical. Look with me, verse 33, Jesus talks about a lamp. He talks about a cellar, a basket, a stand, light. Verse 34, he talks about the eye, the lamp, the body, the light, the darkness. He talks about that which is healthy and that which is unhealthy. Verse 35, light and darkness. Verse 36, the whole body, light, dark, holy, bright, lamp, rays, shining. All of those things are on the physical. We all understand what a light is, what a lamp is, what a light bulb is, what it does. You see the light when you turn it on. All of those are the physical things on the surface. They're all the signposts. They're all the signs. Don't miss the sign. So get the physical, but more important, get what they are all about, the spiritual. So, when you look at this parable, verses 33 through 36, and you read Luke's gospel, this parable might seem at first glance to be out of place. Why does Jesus say these things right here where he says them in Luke's gospel? But frankly, this is not out of place, and it's not out of context. In fact, what Jesus says about the lamp shining and the light and your eye and the body, all of those things have to do with the context. And so context, as I've said to you over and over again with the parables, is so crucial, isn't it? If you don't get the context, you don't get the interpretation. If you don't get the interpretation, you don't get the application. And if you miss the application, you've missed everything. So you have to pay attention to context, to what it means, the interpretation, and how it applies, how practical it is for me. And every time Jesus gives a parable, context is important, interpretation is the spiritual, and the application of it Jesus sometimes makes very directly or indirectly on other times. Now, let's look at the context, because very important. If you've got your Bible, you look at verse 24 and through 26. Jesus talking about unclean spirits, demonic spirits that go out of a person. And because they're restless and out of a person, they can't find a place to rest, and so they decide to go back to the person that they came out of. And Jesus says when they go back there, they found the house all swept and clean and in order, and then they go in and they bring other spirits with them, verse 26, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first state. So now instead of one unclean spirit, Jesus says there's seven of them that are in this person. Those verses, 24 through 26, are connected, of course, to what Jesus just said before that in verses 14 through 23. And verses 14 through 23 are among some of the most relevant, powerful, potent words of Jesus, because he is talking about ultimately the dissolution of this kingdom of Israel, thinking that they are the only people that matter. But rather, it's Christ's kingdom that will stand and Satan's kingdom that will collapse. And Jesus says in verse 20, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom has come upon you. If you see the sign of demons being cast out, know that the kingdom of God is here. Because I'm doing it. And if I'm here doing that, and that's the kingdom of God, then I'm the king. And ultimately what Jesus is saying to the unbelieving Israelites or to unbelieving Jews in the first century, you are of your father the devil. Satan's kingdom cannot stand if it is divided. No kingdom can stand if it is divided. And of course, the reason Jesus is saying all these things is because in verse 16, they were looking for a sign from heaven to test him. They wanted to see a sign. So when you come back up now to verses 27 and 28, those verses, they form an interlude between the previous verses and our verses, all right? So in verses 27 and 28, this little interlude, as Jesus is saying these things, suddenly a woman cries from the crowd, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." How wonderful you are, Jesus, and how wonderful is the womb that you've come from. Jesus says, that's not the point. The point is, verse 28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and who keep it. That's verse 28 says it all, right? The word must be heard and the word must be done. Blessed are those who hear the word and who keep it. Then in verses 29 through 32, Jesus turns to the crowd with that statement from his mouth. Blessed are those who hear the word and who do it or who keep it. And he turns to the crowd and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is this. This generation is an evil generation. In other words, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. But this generation is an evil generation, meaning you are not listening to the word and you are not hearing the word and you're not keeping the word. And this is very important in the context. Why are verses 29 through 32 before 33 through 36 very important? For one simple reason. The Jews always wanted a sign. Show us a sign so that we may believe who you are. If we see the sign, we'll believe, which of course was false. But show us a sign. So they were always wanting signs. So look what Jesus says, verse 29. This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So Jesus says, the only sign you're going to see is the sign of Jonah the prophet. What was the sign of Jonah the prophet? What did he do? Well, he went to Nineveh to preach, you remember? And the preaching or the arrival of Jonah in Nineveh was so shocking and so startling to them, it was as if he had appeared among them as one risen from the dead. I mean, I have no idea what he looked like, but 3 days in the belly of a whale or a fish must have done something to the man. But there he is coming, and the Bible says he started at the beginning of Nineveh and he worked his way through the city preaching. If you don't repent, God's going to judge you. And guess what? They repented. Jesus says, the only sign that this generation will get is the sign of Jonah. And what is that? That just as Matthew's gospel says that he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man himself be 3 days and three nights in the earth. What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about his dying, his burial, and his resurrection. 3 days. Just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so too will I, the Son of Man, be 3 days in the earth. But guess what? I'm going to come out. There's going to be a resurrection. So Jonah goes to Nineveh. They see the sign. They repent. Jesus says, the only sign you're going to get is my resurrection. But blessed are those who hear the word and who keep the word. That's the only sign Jesus says you're going to get. Now listen, signs mean nothing if you have a hard heart. Signs mean nothing if you have blind eyes, deaf ears. If you cannot see them or hear the signs or know what the signs is, they mean nothing to you. So signs mean only something, according to Jesus, if you are spiritually aware. If you read the Word, if you are listening to the Word, if you are hearing the Word, and more particularly, if you keep the Word, if you do the Word. So if you hear the Word this morning, go out of the door and don't do the Word, you've got nothing. That's what Jesus says. That's always what He says, right? The Word is not just to be heard, but to be done. So obedience becomes the practical application of listening to the Word as we are listening to the Word this morning. When Jonah preached, Nineveh repented. A greater than Jonah, and ultimately in the passage, a greater than Solomon was in their presence, namely Christ Himself. So while Nineveh repented, what did Jesus' generation do? They didn't repent. They were an unrepenting generation. They were an unbelieving generation. They had hard hearts. They refused to hear the words of Jesus. So show us a sign, Jesus. Okay? Here's the sign. 3 days in the earth. You're going to kill me, which is, of course, His passion predictions. The Son of Man will be taken and scourged, and they will crucify Him, and He'll be buried, and then on the third day He'll rise again. Jesus said that on a number of occasions. You want a sign? There's the sign. I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise from the dead. That's the sign. Did they believe? No. They did not believe. Why? Because they were an evil generation. Jesus is greater than Jonah. Israel will reject Jesus, will reject His preaching. They will not listen to the Word of God that comes from Him. That's verse 28. Blessed are those who hear the Word and who keep it. So, with verses 29 through 32, in the background, Jesus suddenly talks about His parable in verse 33 through 36. That's the background. So He's just come out of denouncing Israel, right? He's just come out of telling them, you won't repent. You won't like the sign. You won't believe the sign. Nineveh repented, but you're not going to repent. And so He comes out of that, and He suddenly starts to talk about lighting a lamp. So what's the connection? Well, there's no question this is a parable about light, isn't it? It's all about light, light versus the darkness. I want you to notice four things. Number one, verse 33, the purpose of the light. Number two, the parable about the light, verse 34. So the purpose of the light, verse 33, the parable about the light, verse 34. Number three, the pretense to the light, verse 35, and the power, ultimately, number four, from the light, verse 36. So the purpose, the parable, the pretense, the power, just to help you remember. So look at the purpose, verse 33. No one, Jesus says, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that, there's the purpose, right? So that those who enter may see the light. That's the purpose. The purpose of the light is so that you can see. So why do you need light? So that you can see is what Jesus is saying. Light implies, by the way, darkness, either previously or presently. So the light comes, it's dark, and the darkness is dispelled because the lamp has been lighted. Now nobody who lights a lamp takes the lamp then in the living place and goes down into the cellar under the earth and covers the light up there and says, okay, I've lit the lamp, there it is in the cellar, and goes back upstairs into the darkness. Nobody does that, right? Not only that, but Jesus says, nobody lights the lamp and then covers it. Nobody does that. The only time you hide the light is when you have something to hide. It's the only time. So, you go into a room, there's your lamp. You're not going to move that lamp, you're going to light that lamp, because what does it do? It gives light. What's the purpose of the light? So that I can see. Right? Very simple. When Jesus told that to them, as they're listening to him, they would get the picture. We know about the cellar. We know about these baskets that can be used. And nobody would do that to a light. Yes, Jesus, we see the purpose so that those who enter are in the light and they can see the light. Now, frankly, I don't need to tell you that if you come to your home at 9 o'clock at night and it's dark and there are no lights on, the first thing you're going to do is put on a light. Why do you do that? So that you can see. It's obvious. So obvious, isn't it? And if you're in a dark place, you need a light. Now, ships, you know, by the way, that sail on the ocean, they like lighthouses. And I suppose today, I don't know how valid lighthouses are today simply because of technology. But there they are. They shine in a dark place at night. That light comes around. And it's just simply saying to somebody out on the ocean, stay back. Don't get too close. Okay? I'm just letting you know that there's something here that you need to be aware of. And lighthouses, of course, were designed either to show the way or prevent getting near to the danger. That's what the light is designed for, by the way, to show the way, to prevent you going into a dark and a dangerous place. God has given us his light. It is his word, and it is not only his word, but it is the eternal word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself the light. You want to be in a safe place? Be in the light. If you want to be in a dangerous and a dark place, stay out of the light. Jesus says, this evil generation who's always looking for signs, who always wants signs, is going to get one sign about my death. You want life? You got to come to me. I am light. I am life. I will keep you in the light and away from the darkness. So nobody hides a light unless they've got something to hide. Unless they have something to hide. What do you do with the light? Well, you display it, right? So in those days, you had to display it on the stand. So there's the stand. The light would be there, and you go to the stand, or you'd either have to put it on there, the wick with the oil, and you light it, and it lights up the house. And it stands there almost as a beacon displaying its light. If you snuff it out, you plunge into darkness. So Jesus says the whole purpose of lighting the lamp is to put it on a stand so that people can see it. Jesus says, I'm putting myself, as it were, on a stand as a sign. I'm the light. See me. But because their eyes are blind and their ears are deaf and their hearts are hard and cold, they can't see the light that's standing in front of them. So Jesus is using the physical, but behind the physical is the spiritual reality of Jesus himself as the Word, as the light shining in a dark place. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, same idea, says this. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see. So what is the purpose of the light? That you can see with your eyes. The preaching of Jesus is like a lamp. It opens up the way. It dispels the darkness. It reveals the truth and it penetrates the darkness. Jesus came that we might see the light. In fact, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John tells us in his Gospel, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Isn't that an interesting statement, verse by Jesus, or verse by John, I should say, about Jesus? The light shines in a dark place, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. Oh, to be in the light then. Because if you're in the light, you can't be overcome by the darkness. Jesus is that light shining. So he's the true light, as John says, that enlightens every person. As he came into the world, and into this world of darkness came Jesus, who is himself the light. So the purpose of the lamp in verse 33, the purpose of the light, the lamp, is to see the light, see the way, see, show the way, be out of the darkness. It's a very simple purpose. All right. Secondly, the parable, verse 34. Jesus says, your eye is the lamp of your body. So you notice how Jesus suddenly switches, right? been talking about this lamp being lit in a room so that you can see when you come into the room. Now he suddenly talks about the eye, right? He says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad or unhealthy, your body is full of darkness. What are you talking about, Jesus? What are you talking about? You're talking about physical things. I know about eyes and lamps and bodies and healthy and unhealthy. I get that. But how does that connect to what you're saying? If the light in verse 33 is to be seen, then the question in verse 34 is, what is it that you see and what is it that others see? What is it that you see? On the physical level, what do you see with your eyes? Well, you see that which is before you in the light. If you were in a dark place, you could see nothing. You got your eyes open, you can see nothing. You need the light to see. Now, Jesus is somehow connecting the eye to the body. Your eye is the lamp, he says, of your body. So there's this incredible connection, it would appear, between our eyes and our bodies. In fact, our bodies respond, do they not, to visual stimuli. It's just a fact of life. What you see is going to prompt a reaction, right? So if I throw a stone at you, you're going to respond. Your body will take evasive action. It's just there's just this incredible connection between my eyes that see and my body in which my eyes reside. My eyes are the lamp of the body, Jesus says, on the physical level. You know, we often talk about the blink of an eye, right? The blink of an eye. A very short time, that's what we mean. And normally, a normal length, by the way, of the blink of an eye is about 100 to 400 milliseconds. You don't even know that you're blinking. You're doing it all the time throughout the day. Infants, they say, blink on average about one or two times a minute. But adults blink on average about between two and ten times a minute. Some people, as you know, as you're talking to them, they're always blinking, right? There's a reaction. Why do you blink? Because your eye needs that. It's just, there's a connection to your body. In fact, there's this incredible connection with the eye as the gateway to the body. So we have pity on those who cannot see, because to not see is to be unaware and to be in the dark and to be unable to react when necessary. So light goes in through your eyes. It's the gateway. Your body responds to what it sees. Now listen, if your eye is healthy, Jesus says, you see where you're going. Your body takes the appropriate action, the appropriate steps. If I see where I'm walking, then I walk in the way. But if I were in the dark or my eye was blind, I would not see where I was going and I would not know where I was going and my bodily responses would not be confident. That's why blind people use dogs, canes, anything to help guide the way, because they cannot see where they are going. Now, you know, superstitious people always talk about the evil eye. Okay? Jesus talks about an unhealthy eye. He talks about a bad eye. If you have a bad eye, darkness is going in. Something is happening to you. In 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship with believers, fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if you walk in the light. What does it mean to walk in the light? Confess your sins, right? To be in the light. What does the light do to sin? It shines it up, shows it up. Come to the light. Bring your sins out into the light. Let them be seen, let them be known. But you know what we do with our sin? We like to hide it. Cover it up. Jesus says, no, if you're in the light, you put it out there. God can see it. God will deal with it. So, if your heart is right, your walk will be right. You will be making spiritual progress on the spiritual level. But if your heart is not right with God, then you will be walking, as God says, in darkness. You know, the staggering thing about sin, which brings death, is that it means and it always brings about the shadow of death in your life. If you know that you have sinned against God, it's as if a shadow has come over. Because there's something now between you and God, and the end result of all sin is death. So it's as if this visible shadow of death, as it were, creeps over us when we engage in sinful activity or when we sin against God. Sin advances. The shadow of death advances if you allow it. So how good is your eye? Because your eye is connected to spiritual responses. So if the lamp in verse 33 can be the Word, how responsive are you to the Word? You see it, you hear it, your eye takes it in, takes all the light in. What is happening with your eye? Is it a good eye? Is it a bad eye? I've often found that sin throws a cloud over spiritual judgment and spiritual reality. Sin is deceptive. Sin is lawlessness, according to John. Sin is rebellion. Sin is perversion. Sin is disobedience. Sin is against God, brings death, is darkness. So in verse 34, Jesus is not telling you about what you see physically, because we all know what he means. If your eye is good, you can see. There's a connection to the body response. Yeah, we all know that. That's not what Jesus is referring to. He's referring to something spiritual. So, is your eye spiritually healthy or unhealthy? And listen, if your eye is spiritually healthy, your body is spiritually healthy. He means the responses, the effects, the way you live, the mission that you undertake in life is affected by the Word, the light of the Word as it comes in through the good eye. So Jesus says, what is it that you see? That's the parable. It's just a physical statement. But Jesus just doesn't mean the physical eye and the physical body, right? Or healthy body, or light, your whole body full of light, or your whole body full of darkness. He doesn't just mean that on the physical level. He's talking about spiritual truth. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness. So, if that's the parable, look at verse 35, because verse 35 is the pretense to the light. Now, verse 35 is the application to the parable, verse 34. So, coming right out of this physical statement about your eye being healthy or unhealthy, being in the light or in the darkness, or your body being full of the light or full of the darkness, straight away Jesus says, therefore, verse 35, you see that? Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. What are you talking about, Jesus? That word be careful, or those words be careful mean to fix your eyes on, to look upon, to look at yourself, to take heed to yourself. So take care, or what Jesus says, be careful. He means look at yourself. What kind of eye do you have? What kind of body do you have? What is your spiritual condition? Is it a healthy eye? Is it a healthy body? What is your spiritual response to these things? Now, Jesus is warning us against pretending to be what we aren't. Jesus is warning us against pretending to be something that we are not. Be careful, he says, lest the light in you be darkness. Now, how can the light in you be darkness? Because you think it's light, when in reality it's not light. What you think is light to you, Jesus says, if your eye is unhealthy, is not light but darkness. You are self-deceived. So when the Jews are looking for a sign from heaven, show us a sign, Jesus says, no sign will be given to this evil generation except the sign of Jonah. Jesus is saying, you are missing the spiritual reality of my life and my preaching, my mission, my kingdom. You are blind to it, you are deaf to it, you don't want to see it, you don't want to hear it. And I dare say there are people in church today who don't want to listen to Jesus' words, who don't want to hear it, they just want, give me some motivational speech, give me something that will fire me up, some psychological analysis that will help me determine how I can function out there better against all my psychoses or whatever it is, the problems that I have. That is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. But that is what is being preached across our land. Make you feel good kind of gospel. Gospel doesn't make you feel good. The gospel says to you, you're a sinner. You need Christ. Without Christ, you perish. That's the good news. You need Christ. The good news is you can have him. We're so sidetracked today. Sidetracked by what we read, sidetracked by what we listen to, sidetracked by what we see, sidetracked by what we hear, sidetracked by what other people tell us, sidetracked by our peers at work, sidetracked leads to deception, self-deception. Jesus says, look, let's stop pretending about spiritual life and spiritual truth and spiritual reality. Stop pretending, he says. You Jews think you're okay because you have the whole Old Testament scriptures and you have 2,000 years of history going all the way back to Abraham behind you. But I'm here to tell you that you're blind and deaf and dead. That's what he said. I came to show you the light. And what did they do to the light? They snuffed it out. They killed him. That's what they did. That was their response to the light. So Jesus is warning us against pretending to be something that we are not. So hypocrisy and self-deception always go hand in hand, right? If you find the one, you'll find the other. If you find hypocrisy, you'll find the person is self-deceived. So whatever you think is the light in you, Jesus warns us, might actually be darkness. Because if your eye is not focused, meaning your life, your spiritual life, is not focused on the reality of my life and my words and the truth that is in me, you are walking in some dark place. Now, you know, nobody likes the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads to death. Yet Jesus says, nobody can be my disciple unless he is willing to pick up his cross daily and follow me. Nobody can be my disciple unless you're willing to die to yourself and die for me. But we have our fancy houses and our fancy cars, everything we need. Jesus says, unless you die to yourself, you cannot be my disciple. So, Jesus says, be careful. It's a warning, right? Apostle Paul says the same sort of thing. He says, examine yourself. Test yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourself to see whether you really are a Christian. Examine yourself, test yourself to see whether what you profess with your mouth is actually who you really are. So, with what will you test your life? That's the issue then. If Jesus says, be careful, okay, how do I be careful, Jesus? Well, Jesus says, the way to test yourself is with the true light. Do you measure up to the true light? Or are you trying to change the light to suit you? To measure you, help you be what you think you want to be. So I don't like that part about Jesus' teaching, so I kind of ignore that. And I don't like that part about the Bible, so I kind of just leave that out because I don't really need that. It doesn't really help me. And you know, there are people that think like that all the time. No. The way you test yourself is to measure yourself against the true light. You have the true light. In fact, you can measure yourself against the Word of God right now, this morning. In fact, did you come with a Bible? Is it in your hand? To measure your life against what Jesus says. My words are life, Jesus says. So, the true light, the words of Christ, Jesus himself. Now, I don't have to tell you, we continually face darkness. Darkness is all around, right? This world is darkness. Sin is darkness. We are surrounded, as it were, by darkness. We live in a dark world. All sin is darkness. And all sin hinders the light. If you have sin in your life, it hinders the word. It does. If you have sin in your life, it hinders the light. If you had a disease in your eye, what would that mean? You'd have a problem seeing, right? Some of you have problems, I know this morning, with sight. If I take off my glasses, I don't know who you are. I can't even see you. I just see some sort of colors out there. You see, there's a problem with a diseased eye or eyes. They don't see the way they're supposed to see. So that's why we have corrective surgery or corrective lenses, whatever it is, to help us see aright, to show us the way to go so that we can walk and we can live. But any disease of the eye is going to affect your judgment. It's going to affect your life. Let me tell you, any sin always affects your life. Any sin, little, small, medium, large, any sin affects your life, affects your judgment, affects how you think about yourself, how you think about others, how you think about the world. Any sin, just one sin. So let me say this then, your present spiritual condition this morning, right now, your present spiritual condition is connected to these issues of light and darkness. Right now, are you in the light or not? Jesus says in Matthew 6:23, if the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You think it's light. Jesus says you don't even understand the darkness of it. Now, isn't that what an unbeliever is like? An unbeliever has no comprehension of the depths of darkness and the depths of depravity and the depths of sin in their life. No understanding. They love their sin. It's what they do. It's their life. They've got no idea of the fact that it's dark. They've got no idea of the degree of darkness that they're in. What kind of darkness is the unbeliever in? He's in the darkness of Satan's kingdom. And has not Jesus, or the gospel message in our Lord Jesus Christ, come to deliver us out from the darkness, that kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of His beloved Son, the kingdom of light? Now, what's the difference between darkness and light, night and day? It's an incredible difference, isn't it? So your spiritual condition is an incredible thing, reality, that is displayed by this light and darkness scenario that Jesus gives. Paul says in Romans 13:12 that we are to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Ephesians 5:8, at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. Colossians 1:13, He has delivered you, or delivered us, from the domain of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And Peter says, 1 Peter 2:9, God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, there are two kinds of darkness. There's the darkness of ignorance. I don't know. There's the darkness of unbelief. I don't care. You might not know some spiritual reality about your life, you don't know, but if you don't believe what God says about your life, you don't care about the spiritual reality and truth. So, two kinds of darkness. You're either ignorant, or you just don't believe what God has revealed and said about you in His Word. Now, listen, did Israel believe Jesus? He said to them, this generation is an evil generation. You're looking for signs. But you're not interested in the sign that I give you. I shall give, the sign that I'll give you is my life, my death, my burial, my resurrection. No, they don't care about Jesus. They don't care about His words. They don't care about spiritual reality. In fact, when they saw Jesus, they just saw a usurper, false Messiah, blasphemer. That's why they killed Him. But the remarkable thing was, Jesus continually showed them that He was the truth and the life. Which of you convinces me of sin? He said. Not one of you convinces me of sin. Why? Because He had no sin. He could not sin. So their light was darkness. Now, do you want to know how dark it was? You have to read from verse 37 to the end of the chapter. Just read it for yourself. And you'll see how dark they were. And you'll see how exposed they were to their darkness and didn't even know it. So John says in his epistle, 1 John, if we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So stop pretending if that's what you're doing, is what the word says. Okay, the purpose, see the light. The parable, what is it that you do see? The pretense, be careful that the light in you is not darkness. And now, number 4, verse 36, the power from the light. Look at verse 36. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright or completely bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. You see, the power of the light is only seen when it dispels the darkness. That's when you see the true power of the light. The gospel, according to the word of God, is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16, right? The gospel is God's power to save. Not only that, but the word of the cross, according to the Apostle Paul, is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And did not our Lord Jesus, or has it not been said of our Lord Jesus, that he is the power of God and the wisdom of God to us? And our faith, according to Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, our faith does not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8, verse 12. So when Jesus says, if then your whole body is full of light and has no part with the dark, it will be completely bright. So the life of the believer, the life of a Christian, is to be like a light that has completely dispelled the darkness. You have nothing to do with the darkness. You don't touch it. You don't go near it. You don't want it. You hate it. You will do everything you can to stay away from it. You want the light to shine continually. Jesus said, you are, Matthew 5, the light of the world. Not only the salt of the world or the earth, but the light of the world. And just as the light cannot be hidden, so Jesus said, let your light shine before men or others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the purpose of the light. Let your light shine. But the light that's in you is Christ himself. How will the world in darkness see Jesus unless they see you, whom Jesus says is the light of the world? And Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. So I'm in you, you shine. That's what he says. When you shine, people see you. Now if your shining is darkness, they see nothing. They see someone like themselves. They see someone who likes the dark. They don't see Jesus. God has shone in our hearts, Paul says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Beautiful. God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Do you know the reality of that verse? That's the power, the transforming power of the good news of Jesus in my life, in your life. You see the glory of God in the face of Christ. God says, I've shone into your hearts that light of the knowledge of the glory of God. What does it mean to be fully bright, right? To be full of light, to be completely bright, as Jesus, or wholly light, bright. Well, it means you have Christ in you. You can't shine. You're in the dark without Jesus. So any light that shines must come from Christ himself, love for his word, love for his people, love for his church, love for holiness, love for purity, love for wisdom, love for joy, God's word in me working day and night. The psalmist says, David says, I meditate on your law day and night. It is my meditation. I think about it. I dream about it. I go to sleep with the word on my mind. By the way, if you want to fall asleep, read the word. Satan loves us to do that, right? He'll attack you. I'm not saying you should do it for that reason, but it's still good to read the word anytime. Read the word, right? Now you see, the difference about a Christian and a non-Christian is the Christian reads the word, non-Christian says, I don't care about the word. Now if you're a Christian and you say, I don't care about the word, or I didn't read the word for 3 months, Jesus said, what kind of light do you have? Be careful lest you think the light that you have is darkness. You see, the light is Christ shining in the good news, in the word. How much of the word are you taking in? The more light, the more you see. You'll be wholly bright, shining, right? People will know that you are a believer, that you are a Christian. So ultimately, to be full of light means you just have Christ. This is the definition of a Christian. I have Christ. That's the definition of a Christian. Jesus in us. And beloved, our salvation is not a partial salvation, you know. It's total transformation. The old is past, Paul says. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. It's total transformation. Has your life been totally transformed by this good news? It means I'm taking heed to myself because I have a standard to measure my life against anything, namely the word of Christ. I can apply it to any situation, to any false teaching, Jesus and his word. So my desires, my intellect, my feelings, my will, everything that I am is illuminated and controlled if I'm in the light by Christ himself through his word. It is our worldliness and our fleshliness and our unbelief that brings darkness to us. When God says, look, this is the way, and you say, you know, I think I'd rather go this way, that's darkness. And people have made havoc, shipwreck of their lives because they've thought better than God. And they continue to make havoc of their lives. Christians make havoc of their lives because they don't believe the word. They don't believe Jesus. So those who have the light, they don't need signs from heaven. You have the truth. The truth in front of you, in the word of God, and the truth in you, because Christ is the truth. We don't need signs. We don't need wonders. We don't need startling things to say, show us a sign and we'll believe. No, we believe. Because Christ said, this is what I've done for you. I died, was buried, and rose again. And now I live at the Father's right hand, exalted to intercede for you. So if you have Jesus Christ this morning, then you have the light, you have the truth, you have the power of God, you have the wisdom of God, you have the love of God, if you have Christ. So let me, in conclusion, give you 3 things. Number one, don't neglect your spiritual condition. Today, tomorrow, and the next day. Don't neglect your spiritual life. Take the word, open it up, begin at a book, read that, read a passage, meditate on the passage. The next day, you come to the next passage, you read it, and so consecutively, you build up your knowledge of God's word to you. You feed yourself on the daily bread of life, Christ himself. Don't neglect your spiritual life. If you do, you will wander into bypath meadows and your judgment spiritually will be affected and you'll make poor decisions. And you'll wonder what happened to your life. Don't neglect your spiritual condition. Number 2, when you hear the word, when you read the word, listen to the word and do what the word says. Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Notice, blessed are they. You want to be a blessed person? Read the word, listen to the word, hear the word, keep the word. Let's not be hearers only, but doers of the word. So, don't neglect your spiritual condition. And when you hear the word, listen carefully to it. Number three, don't ever seek after something superficial, a superficial sign, because you think it might be the real thing. Don't be taken in by the counterfeit which is all around us in this day and age in which we live. Don't substitute Christ and His word for men and people and other things. Don't substitute anything for Christ. Now, to have Jesus Christ is to have the power and the wisdom of God. And we have this treasure, do we not? Jars of clay. He can break the clay and remold the clay like Jeremiah saw with the potter at the wheel. Make you into a vessel that He will use for His glory. Number four, you are called to shine before others. Let your light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Why should you let your light shine? For one reason, show the way. Reveal the word, show Christ, restrain the darkness. That's why you should let your light shine. So, what will you do? Don't be spiritually neglecting the word and your condition. Take heed to yourself, Jesus says. Be careful about your life, about what you hear, about what you think about what you see. Let the light of my life and the light of the word shine over all that you think about and all that you do, so that God gives you direction. If your eye is good and healthy, your whole body is healthy. That's what we want, right? The light of the gospel in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ to shine in all of our lives. May God help us to that end. Let's pray together.